time for another episode of The Whisperer in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are reviewing the neutral cards in The Lair of Dagon, the fifth Mythos pack in the Innsmouth Conspiracy Cycle. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisperer in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get a Tentacle, and the cards in between get a +1, 0, or Elder Thing, respectively. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these player card reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. There are three neutral cards in this pack, the first of which being Favor of the Moon. It is a one-cost asset that costs one experience point. It has an intellect and combat skill icon, the Pact and Curse trait, fast, seal up to three curse tokens. If there are no tokens sealed on Favor of the Moon, discard it. As a response, when you would reveal a chaos token from the chaos bag, exhaust Favor of the Moon. Resolve a token sealed here instead as if it were just revealed from the chaos bag, then gain one resource. We have been talking about Favor of the Moon and Favor of the Sun since they were spoiled way back when, and they are finally here. Your thoughts, Nate?
These are the quintessential staples for the Curse and Bless decks, respectively. This one in particular is nice. The little extra resource buff is not unnoticed, I think. You know, I think there are going to be a lot of times where you just need that, like, extra one or two resources, and the fact that this card not only pays for itself, but generates a couple of resources at such a cheap experience cost is, you know, really great. The fact that you can get both of these in your deck for two experience, so you can, you know, get those decks up and running very quickly is really nice. It's just a solid card for those, for the curse deck.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked a lot about a lot of the mystics. They have very specific token requirements, and being able to have this on the table and to draw a curse token whenever you need one comes in very, very handy indeed. And Seekers have several cards as well that their power depends on the number of curse tokens that you've drawn. So being able to play this with the Gaze of Arach and just being able to say, okay, I have one curse token in my back pocket. This is, excellent. How would you rate this one?
I'd give this one a +1, because any deck that wants to add curse tokens and use curse tokens is immediately going to put this in their deck.
Yeah, you don't think it's an Elder Sign in the curse deck?
In the curse deck, definitely, but, I'm always skeptical of giving cards that are so, like, targeted towards one deck an Elder Sign.
Yeah, so it is. It is pretty conditional. I mean, you do have to be playing the curse deck, and you do have to have the curse tokens in the bag.
In the bag already, yeah.
Before you can actually use this one, and ideally, you probably want to seal the three curse tokens if you can. I don't think you're sealing anything less than that, because even if you have no plans on using those tokens, at least you're keeping them out of the bag where they're gonna potentially hurt you. So. I think +1 it's pretty clear that if you're playing a curse deck that wants curse tokens, having them on demand is about as good as you can get. And so this one is and it's incredibly cheap. Like, one experience point is very easy to slot into your XP budget when you're building a deck. The second neutral card in the pack is Favor of the Sun. It is a two-cost asset that costs one experience point. Willpower and agility skill icons, pact and bless traits. Fast, seal up to three bless tokens. If there are no tokens sealed on Favor of the Sun, discard it. As a response, when you reveal a chaos token from the chaos bag, exhaust Favor of the Sun. Resolve a token sealed here instead as if it were just revealed from the chaos bag. This is the blessed version of Favor of the Moon. Slightly more expensive, and no and no side benefit of the resource generation, but again, if you need a bless token, this is your ticket.
Yeah, this is great with the recently updated Winchester that allows you to deal additional damage with bless tokens. So this is a great way to ensure that you're dealing that additional damage with that card, which makes that a lot more playable. And like you said, like, you don't get an additional benefit, but if you're drawing a bless token, you're passing that test. So there is that. Yeah, you know, like we've been saying, if you're going to play a bless deck, you're going to play this card, and it's cheap to include in your deck.
Yep. So plus one for this one too.
Oh, definitely. And another thing that we haven't mentioned too is that these are fast too, so they don't even cost you an action to play. So
yeah, just, you know, benefits all around. And you don't really need an additional benefit with this one when you're already getting plus two on the test. So of course, you do have to draw another token, which you could draw an auto fail, theoretically, but it's not without risk at all. But yeah, another plus one. And I really like the art on this one too. The they did a lot of Maricela did a lot of intricate work on the sun itself, which is quite nice. The final card in the pack is Purifying Corruption. It's a 4-cost asset that costs 4 experience points. It has a wild skill icon, ritual, blessed, and curse traits. Response: when you draw a non-weakness treachery, take 1 damage and 1 horror, cancel that card's revelation effect, and place 1 resource on this card as corruption. If this card has 3 or more corruption, remove it from the game. As a free triggered ability, you can draw the top card of the encounter deck to either heal 1 damage and 1 horror, or remove 1 corruption from this card. This was another one of the cards that was designed by the at Arkham Knights 2019. This one is very interesting, Nate.
It is. It's hard to evaluate. You know, a lot of the times, encounter cards will just deal you a damage and a horror. So it's like, do I just take it on the chin, or do I use this card to try to prevent like something like a Rotting Remains from dealing 3 horror to me? It's really fascinating. The fact that you can also heal damage with it by drawing encounter cards could be useful. Like, say, late in the game, you just need to heal 1 damage or a horror to be able to, like, do 1 particular action and then win the game. I don't know. This is hard to evaluate because it's expensive, you know? So it's like, when are you going to be playing this card, and are you really getting that much benefit out of it? I think the first investigator that jumps out to mind to me is Calvin, when he can, you know, he wants to take damage and horror, so a card like this is really good for him because he can kind of tread the line that he wants to tread. Mm-hmm. But I think apart from that, I can't really think of an investigator I'd want to include this card with.
Yeah, I think it's worth noting that this is the only neutral option to cancel a treachery card at the moment. So unless you're playing a Mystic and to a lesser extent Seekers, your options to cancel treachery cards are very, very limited. Guardians have a couple that interact with treachery cards, but they don't cancel them so much as, you know, change the way they're resolved. So this is the only neutral option if you want to cancel treachery cards. And, you know, it's nice that the damage and horror is not direct damage or horror, so you can pawn it off on your allies, which could be very nice for an investigator like Tommy, who wants to defeat his allies. So, you know, throwing a damage and a horror on an ally for him is basically generating 2 resources. So that helps sort of mitigate the cost of this card, as well as canceling a treachery that could potentially hurt him. Now, taking a damage and a horror is not ideal a lot of the time, and most of the time you're right, you know, you're only going to take very minimal damage or horror. But I think, you know, having played a lot of low willpower rogues in the past, this sort of card is very, very tempting for dealing with cards like Rotting Remains and Frozen in Fear and stuff like that, where I think I would gladly trade a damage and a horror if I could cancel a Frozen in Fear and not have to try to pass that willpower skill test, or just take three horror to the face because I've drawn Rotting Remains. Having played Winifred recently through Return to the Forgotten Age and just drawing so many willpower treacheries that you're helpless against, right? Like in the My Untamed Wilds game, like Voice of the Jungle, first turn, it's just like I'm gonna be taking a horror turn unless I explore. And it's like, okay, well, I'll take a damage and a horror now to cancel that and not have to worry about it for the rest of the game. So I think this is a card that rogues could definitely get some leverage out of. And I mean, the ability to heal one damage and one horror as a fast action, as a fast free triggered ability, is pretty. There aren't many cards that let you do that. I can't, most of them take an action to play, an action to trigger, and this one, you need to, and there's no limit, right? This thing doesn't exhaust, so you can just, how many damage and horror do you need to heal? Well, you can do it in one turn, as long as you're willing to take as many encounter cards as, and who knows, maybe you're willing to do that if you just need to get through one phase. I'd maybe draw one or two encounter cards for that. That I think the biggest, and the other thing I noted here is that, Roland could use this to fish for enemies too, if he was so inclined. It's like, okay, I need an enemy. Well, I might as well heal a damage and a horror and draw an encounter card and see if I can't get an enemy out of the deal to trigger his response. I don't think you ever use this to deal with corruption. That to me doesn't seem particularly useful to me. Like, I would sort of just see this as like you're canceling three treacheries, and that's pretty much all you need for a game. I don't think I'd bother with the corruption part. For me, the biggest issue with this card is the cost. Like,
Yeah, that's my issue with this
both
card.
in terms of the XP, so you're going to be paying 4 to 8 for it, which is, it's a pretty significant commitment. And then, of course, 4 resources is steep, especially in, maybe, rogues could probably get away with it pretty easily. I mean, if you're playing Preston, this is basically one turn of family inheritance, so that's not a big deal. But for a guardian like Roland, who's got a lot of other expensive assets to play, fitting this in might be difficult, but it's tempting. It's very tempting.
Yeah, it's very strong, like we were saying, this is a really good way of dealing with certain threats out of the encounter deck. If you're able to like play this with an investigator like Gloria who can manipulate the encounter deck, then it could be really fascinating. What would you rate this card? Because I'm interested to see.
Oh man, I think I'm going to go with a 0, just because I think it's strong, but I feel like the cost holds it back from being any higher. I just, when I sit down and I'm thinking about purchasing cards for my deck, that four XP, 4 resource cost is going to be a big factor in that. Then again, there aren't many neutral, there are no other neutral ways to cancel treacheries, and canceling treacheries is a very powerful effect. So, man, if this was just slightly cheaper, this immediately jumps up to a +1 for me. But I think at its current cost point, it's just a bit too much.
Yeah, I think this is a really tough card to balance, right? If you make this too cheap, then it's way too powerful, like we saw with a Watchful Peace. But as it stands now, it's very strong, but it's probably too expensive. So I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to give it a 0 as well for very similar reasons.
Yeah,
While it is very strong, it's just tough, like to play, What does Roland do? Does he play his 45 automatic, or does he play this and hope to cancel that Rotting Remains?
Yeah, I mean, and again, here's another card that sort of we've seen several cards this pack that sort of play with the fundamentals of the game. You know, we had Ikkyak that cancels basic weaknesses. We had a Watchful Piece, which basically lets you skip the Mythos phase. And now we've got this one that sort of messes with the color pie a little bit more than, you know, considering that Treachery Cancellation has been really sort of a survive. Well, Survivors have some as well. So Survivors, Mystics are probably the two that have easiest access, and then Seekers can get some as well. But this makes it available to everybody. So again, yeah, like you say, it's tough to balance it without. If you make it too cheap, then everybody plays this card. You make it too expensive, nobody plays it. And I don't know, maybe at three it would have been okay. Like three to me seems to be the break point for me when I look at costs, and anything above three sort of really is difficult to justify.
Yeah, and it's tough because it's like, is three resources or three experience enough to push it over to the edge of like borderline staple material? It's tough to say.
Yeah. So yeah, this one gets a zero, and but I think there may be a rogue deck in my future that includes this, just to see if it can deal. Like rogues, you can work around their low willpower, and a card like this would really help immensely to deal with some of those treacheries, even for a damage and a horror. That's going to do it for the neutral cards in the Lair of Dagon. Favor of the Moon and Favor of the Sun. Nate and I have been talking about these for, it seems, every pack since they were spoiled. Just saying, you know, just wait. The Curse and Bless mechanic is really going to sing once Favor of the Moon and Favor of the Sun arrive. And I think that these are going to be included in pretty much every Bless and Curse deck under the sun. Because they are being able to draw the tokens on demand is fantastic. And Purifying Corruption, it's a tough one to rate. The power is certainly there. It's just the price tag may be a little bit more than investigators are willing to pay. So what do you think about this pack overall, Nate?
Ooh, man, this has to be one of the most tumultuous packs I think we've seen in the game's history. Do you think that's a safe thing to say?
Yeah, it swings from high to low, all over the place. And I mean, there's a lot of, like we said, there's a lot of cards in here that are playing with the fundamentals of the game. You know, it's I'm not necessarily in favor of certainly not of Watchful Peace. Ikkyak is a pretty toned down compared to what she does is pretty toned down compared to that. But yeah, it's a very swingy pack. You know, you have all the rest of the talents, which we sort of knew we were going to get at some point. I don't know if it was, you know, if it's ideal to just stuff them all in one pack and get rid of them, because we know they're going to come at some point and they're not exciting, but we're going to make them anyway just because to fill out the thing. And then you've got something like a Watchful Piece, which personally I don't think it should ever have been printed. And then you've got Flew to the Outer Gods, which, I mean, 8 experience points, but man, what are you getting for it? Like, it makes me feel like I've missed some combo in there that is just game destroying. I mean, why it would cost 8 and Watchful Peace would cost 3 is I don't know, skipping an entire Mythos phase seems pretty damn good for 3 XP.
Yeah, this pack is all over the place. You know, we have even just some like nice, like I would say just tame cards like Enchant Weapon and Stygian Eye. Like these are cards that you would want to include in the decks that you feel like you'd need them in. But yeah, man, oh man, what a weird pack. But I think for me the biggest takeaway from this pack is that the developers are certainly willing to, you know, turn all the knobs to 11 and see what happens. And I don't know if I like that so much.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the game is going to be celebrating its fifth anniversary, I believe, later this year. And I know we've heard from MJ Newman that the designers have all sorts of zany ideas that they want to explore. And I'm not sure, while I'm very open to them to, you know, exploring new design space, I'm not sure they should be tinkering with the fundamentals so much. I don't think that's an area that is they should be exploring, but that's just me.
So I got to ask Man from Lang, before we close off, what's your favorite card from the pack?
What's my favorite card from the pack? Just running through the cards in my head. I think it would probably, just from a card I'm excited about trying, it would probably be Gaius. Just because I think there's a lot of interesting things to do there. I mean, Favor of the Moon and Favor of the Sun, I mean, I quite like those cards, but they've been known for so long that there's no real surprise there. Gaius was pretty interesting when I saw the spoiler for it released. I think it was like a month ago when the pack started to circulate. And again, it's an interesting card to build around. And how about you?
Yeah, I'm actually right there with you. I like Gaius quite a lot. You know, I'm that combo player at the table when I play in multiplayer. So, you know, cards like this always really fascinate me. But now I'm kind of curious, because you've been mentioning Preston quite a bit in this episode. So I'm really looking to now make a Preston Gaius Dark Horse thing deck. I don't know what it'll be yet.
I think that's a good name for the deck on Arkham DB. A Preston Gaius Dark Horse thing deck. It'll be very, very clear what it does from the I think the other card I'm very interested in trying is Purifying Corruption, just because I think it might be the card that solves some of the rogue issues that I run into from time to time. There are other workarounds to the low willpower issue, but having just played Winifred and taken a ton of willpower treacheries to the face, having some way of dealing with that, it would be very welcome. That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your other sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.